Welcome to Three in the Key.
That was a family issue. For one, it had nothing to do with the team or basketball. But that's the first time I ever felt like that emotionally, and I had to be with my family.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
You got the technical day. It's pretty rare for you.
Yeah, I got five.
Yeah. Has there been any frustration with where you've been this year lately?
I know what the main thing is, the main thing is to win, but it is.
With your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzane alongside Dave Tripp.
You.
And Will Macklin.
What up, what up? Also, wasn't Rose supposed to be here, but he just didn't show up?
The special invite that we had saved for you guys.
Yeah, he's not even, I don't understand. He was supposed to be here. You said he's going to be here, Dave.
I know. He's usually very reliable, too. It's true.
Dave's been calling him all day.
Yeah, and I've been texting him. He hasn't even talked to me at all. It's super weird. I thought friendship or whatever would have a factor, but paying him $14 million a year. It doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was 20.
$20 million, sorry.
That's far too much.
But yeah, other than that, everything is a go-go for
everyone. Mimi. Else is here.
Yeah.
The three main guys are here.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Wow. Our special
main
guest
focus.
Build.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about D-Rose, man? What was going on there? Just disappearing on the Knicks like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good look, really.
I don't think it's a good look.
I mean, even the coach was like, I don't know where he is. I don't know why you're asking me. And I think that's something Jackson should kind of figure out, like what's up with the team here. Like, I don't understand this. Like, this is a pickup that you got last year, and he's been okay. It's not the Rose, obviously, that you've seen before. But
I think he's surprised, though.
Yeah, he has a few highlights here and there, but it's so weird, right? Like, he's not going to be a Knick next year, I'm telling you right now.
No, I agree. I said it before the season started. I just don't see this being a good fit for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that Brandon Jennings would have stole the starting job by now, but he hasn't. He hasn't been spectacular.
Really, yeah.
They fined him $200,000 for missing the practice or missing the game. So
Only that? I feel like you should be paid more. If you don't give any... It was a family thing in Chicago, I think, what that was the deal was.
Yeah, that was
that's what he's saying.
But yeah, like, we don't know if he's lying, if he just wanted to take a day trip to Chicago for some deep dish pizza.
It's true. I wouldn't mind doing that.
I mean, if I was making $20 million, I'd be taking day trips all over the world.
$200,000's one 110th of his salary this year.
Oh, God.
So
I just don't...
He could skip every game and he'd still be making good money.
I know, it's fine. I think he just... You have to tell the team, like, hey, you know what? I don't feel well, or I just can't do it for this reason. You have to tell them. For everyone not knowing, unless he told them and everyone's kept it a secret, like, it's super weird.
No, I don't think anyone kept it a secret. But he just disappeared on them, came back, had an okay game on the road in Philly. They ended up losing, and then back right. home again against the Bulls. Had a decent game as well. But they look like they've moved on. Reports are out this week that he's seeking a maximum contract for him would be a 5-year, about north, I think, of $150 million.
Yeah,
so we're talking,
there,
we're talking Mike Conley territory here.
Yeah, who's going to make him that max deal?
Question.
Because I would if he did pull stuff like
thanks
that,
for, thanks I, that. Thanks for that, Will.
Okay. I'm not going to. Who's going to give him that max deal?
No one. But I'm saying, would you rather have him on that deal or Mike Conley?
Mike Conley, yeah, come
okay.
on now.
Yeah, you know, me too. I'd have Mike
even
Conley.
If you dropped,
even though both of them aren't worth it, but okay.
Even if you dropped all the baggage surrounding Derrick Rose, I would give it to Mike Conley like 1,000 times over just on playing ability. He's a better player.
Yeah, also, he's loyal. He's been to every game.
Yeah, that's fair point.
Of course, he had troubles this year with his back, but he told them about it, and he didn't play.
It's true.
So, yeah.
He didn't skip game to go see the
exactly.
chiropractor.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And then he came
you,
back
Conley.
Early. That was amazing.
Good on you, Conley.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone will give him that. He'll get paid.
Maybe
but...
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They're garbage.
Honestly, yes, though. Honestly. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think so. I don't think he'll even get that from anyone. He'll
They're
get some
Jeremy
sort of
Lin.
Money, but I don't think he'll get a maximum contract from... A team, I don't know, he's not worth it. Obviously, if it was the Derrick Rose of old, and we're talking MVP Rose 2010.
The Bulls wouldn't have got rid of him.
Exactly. And he would have had another maximum deal and probably signed one before heading into this last season, because now with the new CBA, you're allowed to do that.
Right.
But yeah, the whole Derrick Rose situation, I don't know, the Knicks, man, there's just something wrong with that organization. It feels like they're just surrounding Melo like with not good enough players.
And Porzingis. Like, what are you doing? You're burying a unicorn.
I know.
Exactly.
Stop it. Let him grow.
Do you think it's almost like Phil Jackson's doing this and he's kind of saying, like, baiting Melo into, like, hey, you know what? You think you should waive that no trade clause and let me get a decent package in return?
I don't know,
and
man.
Build Porzingis. Like, build that package or whatever I get. And, like, Justin Holiday has been all right for them. He's getting some minutes. Like, defensively, he's been okay. And then, you know, whatever you get for Carmelo, you can move forward with Porzingis.
But they're saying Melo won't waive his no-trade clause.
Yeah, he wants to live in New York. He wants to ball there.
Great. Wow, that's really convenient.
Now, I'm not saying that is the thing to do for the Knicks. Their problem is on the defensive end. But it is probably something that has come up in Phil Jackson's mind, right? But at the end of the day, he's the one that signed him to that contract and included that no-trade clause.
I think Phil Jackson's starting to show his age. When you look at the signing of Joakim Noah to an extension, and then, I mean, bringing in Derrick Rose, at least Derrick Rose, that chapter's over this year. You can move on to something else. But, I don't know. Some of those moves were just stupid.
I think it was a move of being like, hey, New York, I'm trying. And, by the way, they all are not good. So, like, it's like one of those things. And it's not really his fault, but...
But you got to build through the draft, and if you don't have any picks because you've been dumping them for the last decade, then you got to start working your way back towards it.
I know, you're right, because the one positive thing I can look at and see that Phil has done is Porzingis. That's the only
thing. Exactly.
Imagine if he didn't have that draft pick.
I know.
Imagine that.
Oh, they'd be Brooklyn.
It would be awful.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
They would just combo the teams.
You could put those teams together and they still would make the playoffs. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You put
Brooklyn
Lopez with Zinger, and I don't even know who your point guard. Maybe Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, they're still not good.
You're still missing. You got Melo, and I don't know who you play at the two. There isn't a good two on both teams.
The Knicks are only in 10th and about two games out of the 8th and final playoff spot. So we'll see how it goes. 18-22, but they've lost, I think it's like 9 out of their last 11.
Yeah, it's not good.
They've been stinking a bit.
And the locker room's falling apart.
Yeah, and there's a lot of questions surrounding that team. Obviously, that Derrick Rose thing is just going to keep coming back. Everything he does from now on.
Well, I mean, that offseason was rough, and like I'm still skeptical of that situation. And something like this happens where you're trying to build your brand again, and it just collapses on you because you don't, like, fans don't trust you. Teammates don't trust you.
You know what? The worst part with Rose, too, is that all summer long he run his mouth. He was involved in this really tricky law case, and he kept saying, oh, we're a super team. We're a super team.
Right.
Well, people don't forget that when you make such a ridiculous and stupid claim that you're a super team capable of competing with the Warriors. I mean, come on, dude. Come on, man. Like,
the joke.
Now you look like a fool because you can't back it up yourself. Yeah. You're acting like an idiot in the media. I got no time for it. No time.
Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us at the3nikki@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3nikki, on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram, the3nikki. You can listen to each and every episode on TuneIn, SoundCloud, iTunes, of course, on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network.
That's right.
We're everywhere. And, of course, check out our website, 3nikki.ca.
Good reads on there, too. Good blurbs on us. It's very refreshing.
Yeah, so
thorough.
You can get to know us a little more. Probably not, because we say everything on the podcast.
Yeah, it's already said.
We're open books.
I was going to bring up the whole... One of the big stories this week was, of course, LeBron, Elias' favorite basketball player at the moment.
Probably not, but we'll go with it.
LeBron's kind of getting upset. Like, I know it's another thing for Elias to complain about LeBron.
I don't complain about LeBron, though.
When the Cavs are
on TV, I watch them.
You call
them entertaining.
No, I know. I mean, call them out on his politics is what I'm saying.
Yes.
So when we talk about that, and I know you're not complaining. It was bad phrasing. But, I mean, just saying how he comes down to, I think this is him complaining about him not getting fouls, where he does get fouls. Where you looked it up, Elias. Where is he?
Yeah, so he's 11th. In the NBA, 36 games played, 253 free throw attempts. So that's about 7 a game, which is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not James Harden or Westbrook who get there 10 times.
But their usage is higher, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the ball more in their hands. Obviously, LeBron James has Kyrie, who's a ball-dominant player as well, who needs it in his hand to set up teammates and get his own shot if LeBron's not setting him up. But LeBron is a complainer, and he does often complain to referees and to the media. And during games, when you watch him normally, he complains about everything that happens to him. But once a foul is called on him, he also complains and says it's not a foul. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways,
that's
buddy.
The thing is that for what I see, he doesn't get that many fouls called on him anyway. So for him to kind of, it kind of evens out the playing field, I think, for him not to get that. It's because of his size, right? And the type of player.
For sure.
We haven't seen this guy, like the player like this in so long or at all even. And so you have this guy who's 6'8", 250 coming down the line. It's tough to be like, you probably fouled him on your way to the basket, you know? Like you, it's just, you're such an enigma of what we've seen on the court where we don't know. Like, how do you call that? You call it, you know? It's such a hard judgment.
Well, LeBron can point the finger at anyone he wants. Like he is still, as much as any player in the league, he gets the superstar treatment.
Of course.
Much as anyone. Look at him travel all over the floor.
The crab dribble.
All season long. He gets away with taking four, sometimes five steps. Nobody ever calls him on that because he's LeBron James. Because it would slow down the game.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty valid argument. But I mean, to say that you're the only player that's not getting fouls. Well, that's stupid.
No, exactly. I think
every player's, they're missing calls on every second play.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just
the nature of a fast
nature.
Sport.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just what happens. And for, I think what this is a strategy. We've seen this before from coaches. Phil Jackson, who we just mentioned, does it a lot. Carl did it a lot. Everyone does it, but it's kind of like you do this kind of, plant this seed to the media and be like, you know what, maybe he's going to get calls in the future.
You saw it in the playoffs last year, actually, and they got some favorable calls in
he's
that
just
series
buying
against
himself
the Warriors.
Calls. That's what's happening. I mean, they lost to the Trailblazers this week, and that was the kind of one of the big things. And they always lose.
But then he blamed it on practice, lack of practice, and injuries. Like his own, like
he seems to have an excuse a lot. For
yeah,
sure.
It's like his only team.
I'm in the
like
best of the world.
Team,
it's
like
just
the Cavs. Are the only team that have injuries.
Yeah, like it's
that are not practicing much.
Like, I mean, Portland's not even in the playoffs right now. They're like, or they're fighting for an eighth spot. Like,
probably Lou's fault. He's not letting me coach enough.
Exactly. No, I think that's the thing. Is there's always one thing after the other with LeBron. Like, hey, man, you know what? We're not gonna kill you if you lose on the road on the Pacific Coast. Like. It's a back-to-back out of Utah. Like, you haven't won in Utah in, like, 6 years, so dating back to Miami. Like, we're not going to kill you. Like, it's travel, man. Like, we get it.
And you lose games. It's just part of the
exactly.
NBA.
Like, the Warriors have lost games. I don't see them complaining. They have the one of the four best players in the league right now.
Yep. And the Cavs have still a comfortable
including Zaza.
Lead. a three-game lead over the Raptors in the Eastern Conference, right? So, I mean, three games is still a lot because the Cavs are not going to drop many games.
No.
This season, 29-10, the Raptors are behind them 26-13, but the Raptors have the Celtics who are crawling up behind them as well, who can overtake them for that second spot
right.
And first
and
in the
Thomas
Atlantic.
Is just
he's been unbelievable.
Right
yeah.
He's a definite all-star. I saw someone that was saying that he's not an all-star on
I think
Twitter.
Avery Bradley's an all-star too. Look at his numbers this year. He's been sensational.
Yeah, but he won't get it.
But he's a guy that's definitely sniffing.
How do we feel about
close.
Al Horford getting booed in Atlanta? That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm not crazy on that. You know what? It's the first time he's been back, and I'm sure they're upset over the fact that they're losing one of their franchise guys. But, I mean, you got to get to a certain point in your career where you've given enough to a certain city. You've never been given the opportunity to win. And, you know, now you're going to change your loyalties. You're going to go play for a different team. I don't see how you can't do that.
Well, no. I think he made the right choice as well.
I agree.
Even though Atlanta's fourth, they're right behind them, but they traded Korver.
There's been talks
that they're not going to trade Millsap now, but I'm pretty sure they're going to listen to deals heading towards the trade deadline.
I think them saying that is just being like, hey, like we're not taking any deals, but we will listen. But I think they're only listening for first-round picks or something like that.
Yeah.
It's
well, I mean, if you're dealing Millsap, he's a really good player and an all-star. And I mean, a first rounder is probably the least you can expect.
But we were talking last week about how like the Raptors would never don't need to give up that much for him. You know what I mean? That type of player.
Well, the Raptors
when you
have
get that situation with Lowry and him
this
right?
year. The Raptors have two firsts this year. They've got a lot of pieces that they could move if they wanted to. Like that, I wouldn't count the Raptors out. If Millsap is available, officially or unofficially, the Raptors are definitely involved, in, at the very least, driving up his value.
Yeah,
yeah, because you know Atlanta's going to be calling them no matter what, even though...
Yeah, they've got the most to offer. They
Well, there's other teams as well, so they'll call, but you know the Raptors are a team that can use a Millsap and try to take that next level going down the line in May and maybe even June, late into the season.
I feel like Atlanta will never... They won't stop, or they won't start winning until they involve Gucci Mane in some way.
I don't even know how to follow that up, but I totally agree. Goo-wop for real. Let us know if you guys think the Cavs or any other team is being treated unfairly by the refs. There was also comments out this week that Mark Cuban threatens referees.
Yeah, I saw that.
Certain ways, like for him, for them to call certain games. So they're fighting Mark Cuban, saying that he threatens them and he has influence over them and stuff like that.
First,
so let us know.
First media, the referees, who is he going after next?
Yeah,
could
probably
be you.
And also, one extra thing we talked about before we go. What's up with Whiteside not getting in the NBA All-Star game?
Well, his team is 11-30.
I know, but he's the my brother, Charles Macklin, went and did his own research. And you know the year where Shaq was runner-up to Nash? Mm-hmm. He had about 10 rebounds, 20 points, and like one block. Well, Whiteside's right up in there with the same type of numbers that Shaq had.
Whiteside puts up numbers. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he also said that this whole All-Star voting thing is a joke and people are just taking advantage of it, making jokes and getting all these retweets that count as votes.
Well, it's all memes generated, too,
I feel bad for Whiteside. Like, he was in a really good situation when he ended up in Miami, and now Bosch's career's probably over. Justice Winslow's done for the year.
It's dismissed Wade in a weird way.
Yeah, it's going to be
Goran
weird.
Goran Dragic looks like he might get dealt. Yeah. Although the Heat are asking for two first-rounders because that's what they gave up. Highly doubt they'll get two first-round picks for Dragic.
I like the pieces that they have there, but like Miami, it's going to take them a while to get back into contention.
Oh, definitely.
And he's locked up for the foreseeable future.
Pat Riley's just angry.
Yeah.
Seems like he always is.
And he's just a cranky dude.
A little bit.
The three in the key. @gmail.com is the email address, so let us know, is LeBron being fairly or unfairly treated by referees? Is the team getting the right calls? I think everyone's getting officiated right. Obviously the refs miss calls.
Yep.
On every single play, every single game. So let us know what you think. Once again, the email the3nikki@gmail.com. We'll be coming up next with Damon Rangula to talk some Lakers.
Finally, we've done the show almost 40 times, and we haven't had a Laker guy on, so this is huge for you, Elias.
Elias is excited.
Obviously, Will has to make a big deal out of it.
So
we can't wait to ask some Lou Williams questions.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome.
We'll be back with 3 in the key.
I mean, you'll get your ass kicked every once in a while. That's just the reality of it, you know, so I just... The effort has to be there, you know. So mentally, we just have to compete every night. You know, even if we'd have played really well last night, we probably wouldn't have won that game.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back to 3 in the Key. Elias Solzain alongside Dave Tripp and Will Macklin. And we're happy to be joined now by Damon Rangula of SB Nation's Silver Screen and Roll.
And 16 Wins a Ring podcast.
That's right. To talk some Lakers basketball. Thanks for joining us, Damon.
Thank you guys for having me.
So first off, Lakers right now 15-28. I don't even know if anyone expected them to be this good, actually, to have 15 wins. They started off the season at 500, 10-10, banged up with a few injuries, and then you know lost a bunch of games. Kind of picking it up as of late. What were the realistic expectations heading into this season for this Lakers team with a new coach? And obviously, Kobe's gone now for the first year after 20 seasons. And the whole thing with D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young off the court issues. What were the expectations coming into this year, and have they met them or passed them?
So the truth is coming into the year, so their over-under was 24.5. And, you know, I like using the over-under just to kind of get a general grasp at what the expectations are. So if 24.5 wins was what everybody was expecting, let's say Laker fans were thinking two or three wins higher than that. I personally set kind of a target at 27 wins, which would be a 10-win improvement over last year. But, you know, expectations are funny because when the season started and the Lakers looked good, you mentioned they started 10-10. Now all of a sudden, you know, there were a segment of the fan base thinking, oh, this team can make the playoffs now. And then after the 10-10 stretch, you know, with the injuries and all that, then they looked even worse than what we had expected. The truth is they're somewhere in the middle, and that's where they stand right now. In fact, they're still probably on pace for, you know, 30 to 32 wins, which is a really impressive improvement, like you said, for a brand new coach. And not only is it a new coach for the players and all that, Luke Walton is only 36, and he's also shown kind of some times where, you know, he's experimenting. He's also a young coach. He's learning. This is his first time being a head coach. And so given everything that's come into this season, I couldn't be more happy. But there is a segment of the fan base certainly that took that 10-10 start to think that this team has the talent and experience to be a playoff team, but that's just not the case.
So the Lakers are looking obviously new. Elias mentioned it in his intro. No more Kobe Bryant. It's a brand new team, essentially, led by a bunch of young players. You got Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, obviously Brandon Ingram, who was drafted very early in the draft last year. Which of those young players do you think has stepped up their game and impressed the most early on this season?
You know, I have to admit, I was wrong about this player, and it's Julius Randle. I was always a little bit skeptical. I think there's a sort of almost like a mental block that happens with players who can't necessarily shoot, and he's not very good shooting from the mid-range, or he doesn't really have a three-point shot yet. And I completely discounted the fact that he became a physical freak this summer. I mean, he basically changed his body, and him in the open court matched up against other big men. He's just been taking advantage of that all season, and his aggression and his kind of mentality on the court, he's become the, like, X factor, much like Draymond Green is in Golden State, where, you know, night to night, he might not be the best offensive player or the best defensive player, but he's still the guy setting the tone, and that's what Draymond Green has been for the Lakers. Now, the other players have shown signs, and you know, Jordan Clarkson especially started the season off just insane from, the three-point range and all that. But they've shown a little bit up and down, which happens. And, it's Julius Randle. I was looking at somebody like Larry Nance Jr. and looking at Julius Randle as even expendable at some points, and I completely admit to being wrong. I'm happy to be wrong about that.
Now, on SB Nation's Silver Screen and Roll, you wrote recently kind of the parallels between the two big markets in the NBA, New York and L.A., of course, Lakers and Knicks, and how they're both kind of on this kind of trend of trying to rebuild. Talk more about those comparisons.
Yeah, so and thanks for the reference to the piece. I think the thing I was thinking about was the Lakers have a choice here. Everybody knows about this, you know, this deadline that Jim Buss set. You know, for those of the people that don't know, Jim Buss said, I think 3 years ago, that in 3 years, the Lakers will be in contention. And he defined contention at that time as conference finals. It was a really dumb thing to say, even if they were going to do it, just because, you know, there's a certain arrogance to say that, oh, yeah, in 3 years, we're going to go from, you know, a complete laughingstock to being that good. You know, just ask the Clippers how it feels to not make the conference finals despite being a very good team. So given that pressure, given the pressure of being bad in a big market, the Lakers now can choose to continue to be patient and develop their young players, or they can kind of make decisions like the Knicks have, where you know, they signed Noah, they signed Rose, they kept Melo, and despite having a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, all these players are taking away from Kristaps Porzingis' development and the general development of the team. And I kind of said that the Lakers, with the summer that they just had with signing Mozgov and Deng to very big deals, they could potentially end up in that situation if they make, you know, one or two more short-sighted moves. This summer and this trade deadline is a good test of that, to see if they can show the restraint to be a rebuilding team, because we have seen time after time after time that patience is rewarded, and especially in team building and from an organizational perspective. And they can choose that, and by all accounts, and Mitch Kupchak's comments generally have been that they are going to be patient, which is great. But they can very easily get into that kind of path where they're not really rebuilding and they're not really contending, and yet they've tied up all their assets in, you know, some big name players. And I just caution that the Lakers avoid that.
Speaking with Damen Rangula of SB Nation's Silver Screen and Roll and 16 wins a ring, you talked about the deadline and being patient. There has been rumors and reports earlier in the week that the Lakers have shown interest in Nerlens Noel, obviously someone that will help them on the defensive end where they need the most help. They're 26th in the league in opponents' points per game, which is basically at the bottom. And it's kind of funny to say that Nick Young has been their best defender, because no one saw that coming after the season he had last year. Do you think the Lakers should go ahead and make a move for a player like that, or just wait on it, keep the team that they have, and build with these guys, and maybe in the summer go out and sign, you know, another veteran guy that can help them and slowly build their young guys into superstars? Or do they need to go and get maybe not a young guy, Noel, but someone else to try to help them at the defensive end?
Yeah, it's Noel has been a player that I've always been interested in. I think he has a lot of potential, and like you mentioned, Lakers could use all the help they can get on the defensive end. You know, I actually, Laker fans give me a gripe because I mentioned their summer over and over again. Part of the reason why I didn't like especially the Mozgov deal, even though he's been okay. He hasn't definitely been as poor as I thought he was. But you tie up your cap space into a position that, quite frankly, you know, they did not assess the market correctly this summer for centers, and that kind of ties up their center position resources. I really like Nerlens Noel. I just don't see how you can bring him in and either take him off the bench, which I doubt that Nerlens would be happy. You know, he's not happy in Philly. And in terms of wins, losses, you know, Lakers are still kind of in the similar situation, so I don't think he'll be happy coming off the bench. And if you just sign Mozgov to a 4-year deal, you can't bench Mozgov. So the problem is that the Lakers kind of, despite having interest in Noel, which is, like you mentioned in the reports, I don't see a feasible way for them to bring in Noel, bring in anybody at that center position, to be honest. And that's unfortunate. Nerlens Noel would be perfect for this system because he's a better playmaker and he's more mobile on the defensive end than Mozgov. And that's, given how the Lakers are playing, that would be a huge asset. And, if there's some way to make it happen, I would be thrilled. But I don't see it because of their structural situation. In general, the trade deadline, yes, defense should be a priority. But the truth is until, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson and you know, Julius Randle, all these guys, Brandon Ingram, unless they start really making a commitment defensively, there's no single piece that is going to make it better. Yeah, you know, at the margins, you can get a really good wing. You can upgrade, you know, defensively there. But it's still the front of the defense, it's so porous that even Timofey Mozgov or any good defensive center couldn't weather the storm. So a lot of work needed. That's, you know, part of the development of young players. And when these players came from the draft, defensive weakness was definitely a part of their scouting report, and it has continued to bear out.
What do you think it would take to get a player like Noel? And I'm talking about the young guys. Do you think any of them are untouchable? So to make it clear for everyone, I would put those guys as D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Ingram, and Julius Randle. Those are the guys I'm talking about. Do you think it would have to? They would have to give up at least one of those guys in a package to get it like a guy like Noel back? Or do you think all of them are untouchable?
No, I definitely don't think, you know, one thing about Mitch Kupchak and the Lakers is they've only really had one untouchable player in the last 20 years, and you mentioned him in Kobe Bryant. And
Black Mamba.
Yeah. and the truth is, at the end of the day, all of these players, while the front office, I'm sure, and they really have committed to developing them, nobody's truly untouchable. But in the case of somebody like Nerlens Noel, the only player I could see being involved in a deal like that would be Jordan Clarkson. Just, you know, not that Jordan Clarkson is bad, and Jordan Clarkson's on a, you know, solid deal. That he just signed a four-year, approximately like $50 million deal, which is a really good deal for a player who can be a starting, you know, one or two guard in the league. I think that there's enough scoring punch available, and D'Angelo Russell himself, you know, his role and his confidence is only growing. I can see Jordan Clarkson being a piece that is dangled out there, even if it's not this year, but in the next coming years, just because, like, Portland is realizing in, you know, with Dame and CJ, you can have a really good, you know, point guard, shooting guard combination offensively, but if they don't provide any resistance on the defensive end, it's really hard to sustain winning with that. So I think that, you know, for now, Jordan Clarkson is going to settle in as a sixth man kind of role for this team, more so because of his defensive limitations than anything. And so I could definitely see him being dangled in general in any of these deals. But big picture, if some player becomes available that the Lakers think is worth it, their assessments have generally been on point. I think everybody comes available, but the Lakers are not in the position right now to be in that conversation. Just because when we talk about a star, like, so Jimmy Butler, although I doubt he's going to get moved, but if he comes up in rumors, you know, a team like Boston, a team like Denver, these guys have more assets. So at this time, I'd say Jordan Clarkson for a player like Nerlens Noel is the most likely if a deal happens, but I think the Lakers will be relatively quiet again at the trade deadline.
So do you think anything could possibly go the other way? Like, the Lakers do have a couple of veterans that could possibly be moved this year. Like, you look at Lou Williams, he's had an incredible year offensively, doing his thing like he has every year of his career pretty much. Or even a guy like Nick Young, who in the offseason it looked like he was as good as gone, but nobody wanted him. You'd have to think with the numbers he's putting up this year, and somebody may want to take a chance on him. Do you think it's possible that the Lakers maybe improve their draft position this year by moving one of these veterans?
Yeah, so that is definitely interesting. And that, you know, guys like Lou Williams and Nick Young are definitely, they can be assets to a team who's kind of on the brink. We just saw Cleveland, despite all their firepower, add Kyle Korver. Now, Kyle Korver is a better shooter and a better fit in Cleveland than somebody like Lou Williams, but there are definitely teams, good teams, that could use players like them. So I absolutely think that Mitch Kupchak should do whatever he can. If he can get, you know, even like a mid-first rounder for any of those players, Lou Williams will probably be more likely to get a better return, especially because Nick Young is a player option for next year that he's most likely going to opt out of. So, you know, part of the assessment is who wants to pay him for his next deal and how long will that deal be, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, that is definitely, at least maybe one of them would be great because, as you mentioned about the Lakers' draft position, their pick is top three protected this summer, and it's very, very likely that they will lose the pick to Philadelphia. And just because top three protected is so difficult to keep, the Lakers have had lottery luck the last 2 years, and I think it's safe to assume from a team-building perspective that they should move forward thinking that they don't have that pick. So, yeah, dangling Lou Williams and Nick Young and, you know, would be great to try to get a draft pick back, especially in the first round.
Just before we let you go, I have to ask this question. It might seem like a troll question, but I have to ask this question. Now,
oh, I'm excited.
Walton, one of the bright spots coming in for the Lakers. A lot of ball movement and fun to watch this team. Now, how much is Walton being this fun to watch and making this team fun to watch? Or other half, is it Kobe leaving this team?
You know, the truth is, and Kobe Bryant's my favorite player of all time, it is definitely both. Kobe Bryant, in the last 2 years at least, was, you know, it's tough to say this, but it's kind of true, was kind of a negative factor for the Lakers.
You can't be saying that on the show, man. Come on. Come on, man.
Come on, it's therapeutic. Let him have it, okay?
You can't be saying these kind of words.
He could do no wrong.
Like I said, I love him, and I, you know, it's like when he scored 16 in his last game, it like erased all the negative feelings I had about kind of what he was doing with the team. And the truth is, you know, what made Kobe great was that regardless of circumstance, he was going to be himself. That's what made him great. And often what makes players great also kind of is part of their downfall. And Kobe is wired in such like a, you know, I lovingly call him like a serial killer mentality. He's wired in such a, like, such that way. He can't tone it down. Like, I don't think, I think if he got into the court today and the Lakers were like, okay, hey, you know, we need you to play 10 minutes. He's gonna play like he was, you know, MVP Kobe Bryant, even though he hasn't been playing. And that's just who he is, and that's great. But when you talk about it from playing with, you know, a young team and, you know, players are trying to figure out how to play in the league. Playing with Kobe is a challenge. Playing with Kobe has always been a challenge, but imagine a declining Kobe. So, yes, it's not, you know, I qualify everything by saying Kobe is still my favorite ever. It's been, you know, I haven't basically known basketball without Kobe Bryant. And so, but yes, it is definitely Luke Walton, and it is that, because it's like it's a fresh start for everybody. And when a rookie comes into the league, that's really important, that they don't have any, you know, that there's no crazy pressure or there's no, they're just playing their game. Like D'Angelo Russell is a point guard. He wants to have the ball in his hands. He wants to fling the ball around. And that was tough the last year. So, yes, it is. Your question has been accepted in a very nice way. Yes, it is both of those guys.
Diamond, you know, Rambula.
It happened.
Yeah, I understand.
Diamond, thanks for joining us, contributor to the Lakers SB Nation Silver Screen and Roll and 16 wins a ring. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, and we'll definitely check in with you a little later time.
Thank you, and follow me on Twitter, DAMANR.
Perfect, it's out there now.
Smart,
follow him, right, guys.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key, 3 in the Key. Elias Alzain alongside Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
And Dave Tripp.
Yeah!
I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a new league, a new basketball league that has officially launched. It'll start play, I think it's toward the end of June.
In the summer, yeah.
In the summertime. I think it's in Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Actually, their first game will tip off June 24th in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Awesome. Headquarters in New York, number of teams, 8. It's called the Big 3 League. Big 3, it's founded by Ice Cube.
Put it on by Ice
okay.
Cube, yeah. He's also, he wrote Friday, and he
was
sings
a good day.
Songs sometimes. Is he
singing
and
he
a
was
rapper?
Straight out of Compton.
He was straight out of that. He had a good day sometimes.
Sometimes he, you know, he had a good day.
That's true.
That's right. He had a good day.
So the rules quickly, you know, standard 2 3-point shots apply. There's going to be a 4-point shot. And if a player is touching any point, any part of the 4-point circle, it's a 4-pointer. So I wonder, by the way, is this going to be on TV? Because I'll watch this.
I would watch it too. I don't like the goofy court. I think you should just play in a regular court. But I love the concept, okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
so I think it should be. I think Espen's going to put it on. Like, I'm sure that he was circulating on ESPN and like doing a lot of.
So
press.
The normal thing, you get fouled, you take a shot. You know, you
don't call your own threes.
You have an end one for 2, 3, 4 points. All personal fouls will be counted as team fouls. You cannot foul out. After the 15th foul per half Opponent gets two shots and possession.
Whoa.
Yeah. Technical foul results in two foul shots and the ball. First team to 60 points wins. Halftime happens after a team scores 30. So you can be up 30-0 and it's halftime.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, right? Like, okay, so like, what if that happens? And it's like, so what if it's 30 to like 10 and then...
It's halftime.
So it becomes halftime and then they get to 30 as well and it's like 45-30. Is it halftime again?
No, we already had halftime.
Is the game over?
No, the game's over when you reach 60. Okay, teams but must win by 4 points.
You gotta do time, I think. You can't do you can't do the half and half. It's done. Because like the thing is, like, you know how long sometimes with 3-on-3, how long you can get to 60?
These rules are really kind of like a throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks kind of thing. I don't like the rules, but I just want to watch the game.
I think
think it's gonna be hilarious.
I think it's gonna be too long. You have games that will go forever. And
I mean, a normal standard game.
60, man, that's like.
But you 23. Have a 4-point shot, and you have all these players that used to play in the NBA that obviously can still ball. So 60,
agreed. And lots of room out there.
It can definitely be done in 10 minutes. Realistically,
but that could. But you have that. The team has to be pretty bad.
All right. So here's the big question: who'd you want on your team?
Yeah. So
who's your big three?
We have a fantasy booking here. We got to do fantasy teams.
We should almost do a draft.
We should almost do a draft
with the first overall pick. We're gonna give that to Elias because his pick's obvious.
We'll do 1-1-1 then.
Oh, I don't care. I got my team ready to go.
All right.
Are we picking? Okay, we got to set the rules first. So it has to be three players, obviously. It's a 3-on-3 league.
Oh, shoot. Let me just.
Oh, yeah. We'll have five. We'll have some substitutions.
No bench guys?
Are we taking the players that are signed up for this league? Are we drafting only?
It can
no,
be anybody.
That's silly.
It's fantasy. And it has to be they have to be retired. And they have to be alive.
Okay, and they would be playing at their age currently.
That's right.
Yeah, that's fine.
So if you picked
okay
like
that.
A guy like the Iceman, George Gervin, he'd be playing like a 64-year-old at the YMCA.
Or,
what is the Iceman?
Hey, George Mikan. Yeah. He was a big difference maker.
Yeah, that's true too. No, I think Gervin's gonna be like a player coach. I think right. You can't.
I mean, he has to be.
Also, so, these arenas are not gonna be like arenas like big 18,000.
No, it's one net. You got to clear the ball and stuff.
Right. So I don't know. It's going to be the role. Are they going to be played outside probably? Maybe? That'd
There's
be
no defensive 3-second rule.
Right.
So you can't turn the ball over like that.
All right. Let's get this going
All
here.
Right,
I got my team.
It.
I'm excited about it.
All right. So with the first overall pick in the Big 3-on-3 league draft via BasketPod, I select Elias. I select,
you select
Kobe
yourself?
Bryant.
Oh, okay, Kobe Bryant. All right, so that's obvious. So
seems
now,
pretty obvious.
Now, can we double up? Can we also take Kobe Bryant?
I don't want him.
I don't want him either because he's a ball hog. And
but
never,
I'm jumping on
haters.
Second overall real quick.
Why did there be no ball movement? It ruined the
we
Lakers.
We got a hater
that
alert here.
You know?
We got haters out here. But that's just me.
All right, so yeah, have Mamba all you want.
I'm going to
take Kobe,
with the second overall pick. I'm taking this guy. I'm not sure if you heard of him, Michael Jordan.
All right, MJ.
53 years young, still could smoke any of y'all.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Okay, so my guy is almost like Elias, just retired. So I'm going to take KG, Kevin Garnett.
Oh, you took him from my team
area,
already.
Area 21, as we call him. All right, so
Davis
out of high school.
I'm furious about that one. My post is destroyed now.
You waited
now.
Too long. I wasn't going to take Jordan. You knew you had Jordan. I wasn't going to take him.
Okay. Jordan's essential. KG, I can work with.
Drafting him out of high school, by the way.
So. I know, it's true.
Out of high school after 21 years
yeah, that's fine.
In the NBA.
Yeah, I know.
Apparently, he might go to college for.
Oh,
you
really?
See that? He may like do a reality show where he goes to college.
Oh, that's going to be fun. It's going to be that. Like Billy Madison or something.
But he won't be able to play on the college team. Imagine like 42-year-old KG dunking on 18-year-olds.
He has to get redshirted at least.
I'd love it.
Okay, so with the fourth overall pick
All right.
and the first one in the second round, I choose Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, the dream shake.
My backup post player.
He was your backup.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
All right,
my.
Dave.
All right, I'm going Ray Allen. I need a shooter out there on the outside. He's still young.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
my
guy. He can literally, I know. Great minds think alike.
Will's losing it.
Great minds think alike.
Did you just peek? We took each other's.
Ice in his veins. I was going to go Reggie Miller, but Reggie Miller's old and he dresses stupid. So I'm going Ray Allen for ice in his veins.
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yeah. Good in fiction and in real,
so
in real
I've read,
life.
Yeah, I've read this. Oh, man, now this is, screws me up. Now, this guy's technically retired from the NBA, but not from real life.
Starbury?
Yes! Hey! Right. I took in Stephon's. I think it'll be okay.
That's a horrible pick.
I agree, yeah.
Wait, you know how many championships he's won in Beijing? You guys are dumb.
This is the first... This is the first...
Oh, that's the best line of the show so far.
This
you
is
guys
the first,
are dumb.
This is the first pick where everyone's looking at each other like, oh, that GM blew it. That GM,
I like him. I think the head tattoo brings a certain flavor that you don't see much in the 3-on-3
league. This is horrible.
I think it's a good pick. I don't know. He's good.
And Lisa Leslie to round it out.
I panicked. He took
you were on the clock. You only had
Allen.
A minute.
He took Allen. I couldn't.
Okay,
love it.
So with the last pick, my last pick in the first pick in the third round, are we doing an extra round for like a extra sub?
Yeah, we could do a sub. We'll do
okay,
a sub.
We'll do a sub. Okay, so with the third pick, I'm going heavy defense. As you see, Hakeem and Kobe, great defenders. With my third pick, I'm taking Gary Payton, the glove.
Ooh, oh, that's good pick. A good one. That's good. That's a good pick. He was there. Yeah,
Gary, Kobe, that'd be... Imagine they'd play together in their prime. That'd
that
be
defense?
The best defensive backcourt ever.
I don't even... Yeah, that'd be tough to stop. I can't imagine you...
See, I'm in a rock and hard place here because you literally took my two guys. It hurts.
You're almost, on the clock, Dave.
I almost don't know
the
what
professor,
to do here.
What is he thinking?
You know what? I'm just going to take a bus and drive it right through the post. I'm taking Shaquille O'Neal. It's like
whoa,
that.
Okay.
Shaq,
filling
Daddy,
it up
how are you going to stop him?
All right.
Well, that's true.
Come on. I've seen him dunk on Inside the NBA. He can still do it.
Will,
okay,
your, third in, your third pick to finish your starting
this
three?
Is gonna be, this is going to be a good one because I'm going to be really tall, and that's okay because there's going to be a lot of movement. I mean, it's going to be a small court, though, so I think it's okay. And to compliment KG, imagine if he was side-by-side Tim Duncan.
Ooh.
So there you go, boys. That's my starting three. You got Stephon. Starbury.
Horrible pick. I can't even
it's a good
process it.
He's 39 years old and he's in shape, you know? Like, who knows? I think Kobe's pretty overweight now. So
probably not.
It's true.
We'll see. So
okay, so Will's team, Stephon Marbury, Kevin Garnett,
Tim Duncan.
And Tim Duncan. My team, Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right.
Dave's team, I don't even know who you picked.
Shaquille O'Neal, Michael
Jordan. And Ray Allen. Oh, wow. That's pretty good. Three,
I got a backup
Dave.
Player here, too. I got a good
all
right, bench
so
guy.
Now
all
it's
right,
the backup.
So we'll
now
the
it's
backups.
The one pick that you have coming off your bench or whatever. I'm taking Allen Iverson.
See, you just took mine, you bastard.
So Iverson, see, it's crazy how late Iverson went, but I'm trying to go a little off the board. That's why I think.
Listen,
oh,
it's
me,
not,
me too.
Okay.
Me
okay,
too.
So it's Dave's turn. Listen, I think I have a fabulous four. I have a fantastic four.
I like the alliteration. Yeah, I know. Mine's a good three.
No, yours is a good two right now. I think Stephon has to move to the bench.
We'll see. It depends how he plays, right?
No, it actually depends who right. you pick next.
No, I got a good one. I got a good one. I need
it
to
be out of left field
well,
as well.
I think Stephon's
you're going to probably take Amari Stoudemire. I know you.
I need to... I got this. I know how we're going to tie this off and make my team back in the winning column here. I
okay,
need a
yeah.
ball distributor, and I need some character on this team. I'm going Steve Nash.
Oh,
and
nice
he's
case.
Still young, and you know that guy's not sitting eating donuts on the sideline.
First Canadian ever chosen in the Big Ten draft.
He's busy teaching the Warriors how to shoot three-pointers. Let's not forget, okay?
Yeah, see,
this
I
is
was,
what his job
I
is
I was
now.
Literally thinking Steve Nash as well, but... So you guys, you have a good team. You have an okay team.
I don't
know.
Starbury's
going to be really tough to stop.
He's by far the
his
worst
name
player
has
taken in this
draft. Star in it.
His star. He has a tattoo on his head.
It's I mean, true. We might give you a chance
very
to
fashionable
rethink
in China.
That draft pick.
No, I'm not. I think no. I'm okay.
He's locked in there, red ink.
I can't stay away from that pick.
And you know he'll show up because he needs the money. He's been playing in China for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So
no, but he's doing well out there. Apparently,
oh,
they have
yeah.
a museum about him or something, and he's winning championships.
Right.
He's killing it.
Right. Exactly. So I think
living
I'll,
in China. I mean, who wouldn't want to live there?
So to help out with my defense,
you're on the clock, Will. Let's go.
I gotta go. With probably one of the best shooting forwards in the league. And I'm going to go with Woody Harrelson from White Man Can't Jump. I think that's...
At least go with Wesley Snipes.
No, Snipes is terrible in that
movie. He's so bad. He's even worse in real life, too. I love those stories.
The cutaways, he's so bad.
Yeah. Took him 3 hours to dunk or something.
Yeah, he's so bad. No, obviously that was a good joke by me, but I'm going to go with Scottie Pippen. I think Pippen's the man to go with here on the other side. It kind of complements
Pippen.
Okay, so definitely right away I can be like, the finals is going to be me against Dave. Like, Wills does not stand a chance.
You don't think so?
You might get one win in like a five-game schedule.
Okay, well, Marbury is going to obviously going to underestimate him, and he's going around Iverson. He's definitely healthier than Iverson.
We should do a team in this tournament of only NBA executives. That's when you go Jason Kidd, I don't know, Kevin McHale, if he can ever get a job. Fisher, yeah. Derek Fisher, maybe Larry. You know, imagine that'd be a pretty good team. Yeah, I don't know about Phil Jackson. I don't know about that. A little greasy.
We know who Will would draft. He'd draft Phil Jackson.
I think so. He's his coach.
Phil Jackson and Pat Riley. Huh?
Hey, maybe go Pat Ewing. In your post.
Yeah, Pat,
definitely.
That'd be good, too. No,
I like my team, folks.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let us know what your team's going to be, guys, because that'd be fun. Give us your top three and give us a bench player.
Now, you
as well.
Can't take anyone that we've already taken.
Oh,
though.
You can take, because I also.
You can definitely take who we take.
I also had the Mambas, too. So I had Matt Bonner, Kobe Bryant, and Brian
Scalabrine.
That would probably win you a couple of games, no lie.
Yeah, probably.
Just because of Kobe. So let us know who you think. The Big Three starts this summer. Big Three, the first game, tips off June 24th in Denver, Colorado. Let us know your team. Once again, our teams, mine, Kobe, Hakeem, Gary Payton, and AI.
That's okay.
That's very good. Yeah. Dave's team, Jordan. Michael Jordan, by the way, not DeAndre. He's still in the league.
Yeah.
True.
Shaquille
so
O'Neal.
So confused all the time.
Ray Allen. And off the bench, you have Steve Nash. Now the four.
So many back problems, though.
For Will, are KG, Tim Duncan,
right?
Off the bench, Scottie Pippen, and
the star.
The star of your team, Stephon Starberry.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
Youngest player in the tournament, probably.
Yeah, he's 39.
How about that?
I think
that?
Kobe might be 39? Even. I think Kobe's like 37 or 38.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe, yeah.
Look
but
at
yes.
Kobe leaving something left in the tank.
Could you imagine us coaching those teams? It'd be fun. I think it'd be good.
That would be hilarious. But yeah, let us know your team, the3indekey@gmail.com. Let us know who would you have on your roster, the four. Let us know if mine and Dave, as I think, are the ones that stand out and Will is below us. So please, anyone that emails us, please don't make a mistake. Not make a mistake, but please don't pick a person like Stephon Marbury. I don't know why I'm hating on him. Stephon was cool, though. But just that, I don't know, from all the players you could have taken, Will, you took Stephon Marbury.
I took him early, too, because I knew that you guys were kind of...
He was definitely on my radar.
Me too. I'm going to go with the all-redemption team, actually. Guys whose careers were cut short, I'm bringing them back.
Yeah.
So you go like...
Yao Ming.
Oh, he'd be great. He could go, what's his name? Played in Toronto with Vince Carter.
Tracy
McGrady.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
You go Brandon Roy. We got a team of players I want to see play against.
Greg Oden.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about Greg Oden. I'm going Yao. Come on now. Yao doesn't need a boost to the rim.
Not anymore.
He's there already. At least on one of his legs.
Thanks to our guest, Daman Rangula of the Lakers Silver Screen and Roll.
Yeah, check out his last article. I posted it on our Twitter there, too.
And 16 wins a ring for joining us on today's program. For Dave Tripp and Will Macklin, I'm Elias Silzane signing off. Peace.
Let's go.